Welcome to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's research podcast series, Paths to On-Farm Excellence, where we discuss priority topics for Canadian dairy farmers. My name's Stephen Roach. I'm an epidemiologist with a passion for dairy cattle health and welfare. I did my master's and PhD trying to understand how farmers, their staff, and their advisors can work together as a team to improve. And I'm part of a team that's working with the Dairy Farmers of Canada to help showcase the latest in dairy research for Canadian dairy farmers, advisors, and their supply chain. You'll find this channel features a number of different series, from animal care to biosecurity to research summaries and beyond. This podcast series features conversations with farmers, veterinarians, nutritionists, hoof trimmers, and other farm advisors, researchers, and many other industry stakeholders. Our goal is really to provide farmers and their advisors with useful information that can be applied back home on the farm. If you like the content here, don't forget to subscribe to our feed and tell your friends. In this episode, we're joined by Wasim Shakat and Marit Bichevel to discuss their work on mycoplasma infections and surveillance systems for infectious diseases. Infectious diseases like bovine leucosis, salmonellosis, contagious mastitis, leptospirosis, and mycoplasma bovis are often on the minds of dairy farmers. Do you know you're within herd prevalence of these diseases? Let's hear from researchers on their work in understanding the prevalence of diseases as well as management strategies to reduce transmission. So let's jump in. Okay, Marit, Wasim, thank you very much for taking the time to sit down and chat with me today. Really excited to dig into the findings and the work that you've been doing on a number of different research projects under the Dr. Herman Barkema's lab. So thanks very much for joining me today. Wasim, do you want to maybe start? Just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you've landed in the work that you're doing today.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. It's a pleasure to be part of this podcast. Originally, I'm a veterinarian trained in Pakistan. I obtained my DVM in 2009 in Pakistan. And then between 2009 until 2021, I have been working in dairy industry in Pakistan. Mostly in the initial few years, I worked with small scale and medium scale dairy farmers. And then last 5-6 years, I worked with large scale corporate dairy farmers in Pakistan. So I've seen evolving dairy industry in Pakistan all the way from 2007 onwards. And my role has been mostly working with the dairy farmers in business side of the dairy farming. And I have also been the general secretary for the Corporate Dairy Farmers Association. For 6 years, so I have really been interacting with the farmers, knowing the issues of the farmers and how the policy level by the government particularly impact the dairy industry in Pakistan. So with that approach, I had some issues in my mind, particularly my interest towards infectious diseases and how it impacts the economics of the dairy farming in general. That landed me to the University of Calgary with Dr. Herman Barkema. To pursue a graduate degree as a PhD student. And currently I am in second year of my PhD, and I'm involved in several projects that our group is doing for the dairy industry in Canada, particularly in dairy industry in Alberta.
Great. Well, again, it's a pleasure to have the chance to chat with you here, and sounds like some really interesting experience in Pakistan that you're bringing here to expand your work and your knowledge and benefit our industry here in Canada. So excited to learn a little bit more about your work. And before we do that, Marit, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Hey, I'm Marit. I'm originally from the Netherlands. I'm in my third year of my PhD with Dr. Herman Barkema. Before I came to Calgary, I obtained my master's in animal sciences from Wageningen University in quantitative epidemiology and animal breeding and genetics. After I got my master, I worked for 2.5 years at the Royal GD, or also known as GD Animal Health Services. That's, I think, where my interest in infectious diseases grew a lot. I really enjoyed working on these projects on various infectious diseases. And that's when I decided that I wanted to do a PhD. So that's how I got in contact with Herman. And I'm very happy to work on mycoplasma infections right now. And I think it really fits within my interests. So happy to talk about that today.
let's first talk about a little bit about, you know, big picture. What are some of the topics that you're actually focused on in terms of research, and why specifically have you gone down that path, and what does this mean for us in terms of being able to use it in industry? So, Wasim, maybe let's start with you here. Tell us a little bit about where have you been focused in the first couple of years for your PhD work, and why there specifically?
All right. I think over the last 2 years, my major focus has been on the Cattle Health Surveillance System project. We abbreviate as CHESS project. So under this project, CHESS project, we have focused on multiple pathogens. Mostly we focus on one pathogen at one particular time and one infection, for example, in the research project. But this project brings in a novelty in terms of monitoring multiple diseases, and those includes three pathogens and very important pathogens for contagious mastitis, including Staphylococcus aureus, Streptococcus aureus, and Mycoplasma bovis. And apart from that, we have another important disease, Johnny's disease. And then we have bovine leucosis, Salmonella dublin, leptospirosis, and Neospora caninum. So these are eight pathogens or infections that we are targeting in this particular project. And over the last 2 years, we have actually designed a surveillance program that is focused on the Alberta dairy farms. What we have really done is collecting bulk tank milk samples from all the dairy farms in Alberta. It's close to 500 dairy farms. And not only once, but we have collected it over a year, every quarter, four times in a year, so that we know that there is impact in different seasons. So with these bulk tank milk samples, we have tested against all these diseases. And the idea is to make a benchmark or the baseline level of disease burden, technically what we call as a prevalence estimation for these diseases in Alberta. So it's a hard level prevalence. So we really wanted to know that if we want to control any disease, or we want to make a strategy for any disease, we really want to know where do we stand today. Because if until or unless we know that where we stand today, we are really not sure that where we want to head tomorrow. So very much focus of this project was on establishing the baseline prevalence estimation for all these different diseases. So this is a bigger chunk under the CHESS project that talks about the surveillance system and baseline. And then the second step for us will be to select a few diseases, and then based on the positive farms, we want to establish within herd prevalence as well. So then we'll go at the animal level to understand that, so a farm positive 5% of animals affected with the disease is different than the farm positive, having 20% prevalence within the farm. So that's going to be our next step, and we are aggressively pursuing that. And then the third thing that we are going to do under this project is to come up with some farm-specific disease control strategies, and we'll implement those on some of the farms, and then we'll reevaluate their effectiveness on epidemiologically by, again, reviewing the prevalence estimation. But most important component, and that's where my main interest lies as well, is economics of animal health. So we are going to make economic modeling for these diseases and how they're impacting the dairy industry in Alberta. So pretty much, if I summarize, this entire work is very, very important, not only to the farmers, but also to the veterinarians, researchers, policymakers, and most importantly, the industry stakeholders in Alberta.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Wasim. That's a really, I think, detailed explanation and really exciting project. One, as an epidemiologist myself, a lot of interest there. But beyond that is, I think you said it right. I mean, the ability to help to define and quantify the level of disease we have on our farms in Alberta today, and then take action to figure out where do we prioritize. I'm in Ontario today, and a disease like Salmonella dublin is a very different conversation here in Ontario compared to Alberta at the moment. But as you say, diseases, and Herman likes to say this a lot, diseases do not abide by borders. They don't obey borders. And really interesting work. I agree with you. A ton of impact there, and really excited to dig into that a little bit more. Before we do that, I want to talk about another important disease that you've been looking at, Marit. Do you want to tell us a little bit about, you know, again, same type of question, specifically, what are you looking at, and why focus on that disease, and what kind of impact are you hoping hoping to have with this type of work?
I would say that my research questions that I'm focusing on, they are a bit more specific towards one disease. So that's the mycoplasma infections, and specifically in my case, Mycoplasma bovis. Mycoplasma bovis is the most common species of mycoplasma infections. And in my thesis, I mainly focus on getting more knowledge on the infection dynamics of mycoplasma. This is some knowledge that's quite lacking still. We don't really understand a lot about these infection dynamics. With infection dynamics, I mainly mean that we are looking into like who infects who, in what rate do cattle infect each other. So basically, we're trying to estimate similar parameters to what research we're talking about during the COVID pandemic. So we also are talking about R values, but also about things like for how long do infectious cattle remain infectious, and how long does it take before like these cattle become infectious, for example. Then we also try to identify the transmission pathways on farms. So who infects who, basically, like, is it the older animals that infect calves, or is it calves that infect older cattle? And then we also try to link management factors to those pathways that we observed, to sort of like explain why we see certain pathways more on some farms and not on others. I think it ties quite neatly back into what you just said, Steve, about that infectious diseases are not really bound by borders. Specifically in Alberta, we have noticed more outbreaks of Mycoplasma bovis since 2020. And we think that it's potentially because farmers buy in more animals from the States. We know that Mycoplasma bovis is more prevalent in the States. And yeah, like you say, they don't stop at the border. So that's how they probably got introduced more into Alberta. And that's why it's becoming a bigger problem here as well.
A follow-up question on that. Do we have a sense for how common a disease it is? You mentioned it's ramped up or it's increased in terms of some of those outbreaks. Do we have a sense today of how impactful that disease is?
I think that's something that Wasim is actually working on right now, which is milk tank milk prevalence estimations. So we hope that through the CHESS project, we will get a better understanding of how prevalent it is in Alberta. I do have to say that the diagnostics of Mycoplasma bovis is a bit challenging, which means that we have a lot of false negative results. And in that way, we underestimate the prevalence of Mycoplasma bovis within the province and also on farms. So that's still quite a challenge that we have to deal with. But yeah, I hope that Wasim will provide us with a little bit of better estimate of how prevalent it is in Alberta right now.
Yeah, that's great. And that's the perfect linkage. I asked that because in 2023, I think there's an assumption that we have really, strong tests, and we do, but not across the board, not for all pathogens, not for all diseases. And, Mycoplasma is a good case. Yoni's is another one where diagnostics are not all equal and not always cheap, not always reliable. And farmers know this, of course, if they've been part of the testing strategies for some of these infectious diseases in particular. But it's some of the challenges that we deal with, and exciting to hear that you, as researchers, are helping to improve the diagnostic side as much as trying to understand the dynamics of how these diseases appear in farms, how they move within farms, and then what we can do about them, obviously. So let's go back to you, Wasim, and why don't you help set the stage a little bit for us? What kind of burden of disease are we seeing in Alberta dairy farms?
And just let us start with what Marit mentioned about Mycoplasma bovis. And as I mentioned, over the last 1 year, we have taken 4 bulk tank milk samples from all Alberta dairy farms during the last year. However, we could only find 2 farms that had actually been positive for Mycoplasma bovis on our testing. But as Marit mentioned, we have to be a bit more careful about drawing a conclusion from this result. Reason number one is that the testing strategies are not perfect for Mycoplasma bovis. We use the highly reliable PCRs for this. But another important factor is that this surveillance system is based on bulk tank milk testing. And Mycoplasma bovis is one of the reasons for the contagious mastitis. However, in an animal, it can show different issues as well, like arthritis, for example. It is also one of the symptoms, or one of the symptoms for this Mycoplasma bovis could be respiratory as well. And then there can be other groups of animals which might be affected at the farm, but they're not represented in the bulk tank milk sample, for example, calves. So, I mean, if a farm is negative, that necessarily does not mean that they do not have a mycoplasma issue. And Marit will explain in a bit more detail that the diagnostics of mycoplasma bovis has been really challenging. Particularly, there's a huge variety on that. So I think that while we continue making prevalence estimation and monitoring the diseases epidemiologically, it's very important at the same time that our group is working in the lab very hard to come up with the right diagnostic strategies that could be used by other researchers and all the veterinarians and then later on farmers as well. So moving on, then we have some of the diseases that we have complete results so far. I would like to share with that, for example, bovine leukosis. So we estimated that the proportion of the Alberta dairy farms that were positive at all the four time points for leukosis were nearly 80%. And then at least once tested positive proportion was 92%. So that means that this is a bigger issue. So our testing and our monitoring has shown us that the dairy farms in south region and the central region in Alberta have much more higher prevalence, close to 94-95% for leukosis, while the farms in north region has a little bit lower, which is like 80% or something. There is some regional differences. We're trying to understand why those could be, but one of the major factor that we believe could be in south, there is more animal movement from the US, for example, that might be the reason. Having said that, leukosis is a very important disease. Often it is a chronic issue that an animal once gets positive stays there for the lifetime. And it's not easy to eradicate or control this disease. And often farmers are not really concerned, which is an issue as well, because they don't think this is really a problem, while we know technically it's causing huge economic impact. And that's where our economics work will come to down, because we really wanted to understand that what economic impact these diseases are causing in terms of Alberta dairy industry. Followed by that, we have complete result for Neospora caninum, which is a parasitic infection. And so this is also important. Why? Because it has a huge economic impact. And this Neospora caninum is the number one cause for bovine abortions. We have close to 18% farms in Alberta that were tested at least once positive for Neospora caninum in the four testings. However, the proportion of the farms that tested consistently positive were only 3%. But at any time point, we see that it ranges from 7 to 15% in general. The winter months sampling, we observed that had higher prevalence for Neospora caninum compared to the summer months. We still don't know the reasons. We are looking into the things in our next step, particularly designing in another study to understand these things. And interestingly, for Neospora caninum, we also see there are some regional differences. The farms in north have way higher prevalence, like 30% for Neospora caninum, but the farms in south and central had only half of that, for example, in the winter months. So comparing to the leukosis, we see that Neospora is more prevalent in north, while leukosis is more prevalent in south. So we are still looking into the factors, but we believe that maybe presence of dogs or maybe coyotes and in some regions might be one of the reasons for spread of Neospora canine. Then comes the nasty thing, Salmonella Dublin. We've been testing that. We don't have the full results for that yet. But for sure, we know that there are a number of farms that are, again, positive on the bulk tank milk samples for Salmonella Dublin antibodies. A caution on that is these all bulk tank milk sampling is based on the that gives us the picture of the lactating animals at that point in time. animals that are not lactating, like dry animals, close-ups, heifers, calves, young stock, they are not represented in the bulk neck milk sampling. So, for example, Salmonella Dublin, this has a bigger issue in calves, for example. So we were also looking in near future a study where we want to estimate the association between calf mortality and the bulk tank results of the forms of Salmonella Dublin. And we know from the literature done for the other studies done elsewhere in Europe and other countries that there is a strong association on that. So we believe that Salmonella Dublin is getting an important aspect going forward for this project. And we have recently been into discussions with the Alberta government, the chief veterinary officer as well. We're trying to come up with the future strategy and way forward for investigation of Salmonella Dublin further in Alberta. So that was Salmonella Dublin. And then another important pathogen that we have in our testing strategy for CHESS project is Leptospora. So the issue is that the most common species for leptospirosis is Leptospira harjo, which is commonly an issue in bovines. However, we believe that here in Alberta, we have less issue of Leptospira harjo, but we have more issue of Leptospira pomona, which is mostly a strain that causes disease in pigs. And unfortunately, there was no kit available to detect Leptospira pomona. And we've been searching a lot and we've been trying to contact with different manufacturers. And now we have found a kit that could test Leptospira harjo and Leptospira pomona, both antibodies. However, there is still an issue because the kit that we have now found only can test antibodies in bovine serum. It's not validated for bulk tank milk yet. So our next task over the next few weeks is to validate that kit for bulk tank milk samples. So once we have done that, so we'll probably going to run all the samples that we have for this infection. And then we'll come to know that what is the level of issue for leptospirosis. So then comes the Johnny's disease. We have not yet tested. It's undergoing, but it will not be based on bulk tank milk samples because the test ELISA kit that are available for bulk tank milk testing for Johnny's disease are really not very good. So we are collecting environmental samples from the farm, from different regions, from manure lagoon to manure pit, milking barn, etc. And we'll run PCRs on those samples to understand what is the level of prevalence of Johnny's disease. But we expect that quite some farms will be positive because we have already been running a Johnny's eradication and control program for the last 3-4 years. And we know there's also an issue. So all put together, I think these diseases and the burden estimation is important for the dairy industry. And together with the farmers, as our group always says that with the farmers, for the farmers, so we believe that we can conclude something important that can be really beneficial for the Alberta dairy industry.
Yeah, that's great, Wasim. A ton of information there, but really nice sort of walkthrough of the impact and estimated burden of diseases and qualifying to the situations where we maybe don't feel 100% about the estimate that we've produced, and for various reasons, the diagnostic ability of the test or maybe just the way the pathogen is actually transmitted and the best age class of animal to identify it. But naturally, having a surveillance type program that can use something as simple as a bulk tank test to get a bit of an estimate, I think is a great practical approach. And then, as you say, really start to dig into some of those details based on the results that you find and some interesting results that you have found too. So really appreciate you walking us through that. And I agree, this will be an important next step in furthering our efforts to address some of these things. Let's use Marit, your project as an example of what we might be able to do once we start to get an understanding of burden of disease on one farm or multiple farms. Talk to us a little bit about some of the work you've been doing on Mycoplasma bovis specifically and what that's turned into in terms of impact on the farms.
Yeah, for the study that I did, we used 20 farms, of which we know that they were experiencing an outbreak of mycoplasma. Like Wasim said, mycoplasma can cause different symptoms. So these farms, they all had cows with mastitis or arthritis. So they were included in our study, 20 farms, which is great, just to mention, first of all, because all these farms are experiencing an outbreak, so animals are affected. They have some economic impact with that as well. So yeah, it's really wonderful that these farmers wanted to participate with us, because this was not a very short one-time sampling project. We followed these farms for 3 months in time. We did multiple samplings on different cattle age groups. So basically what we tried to do, again, was estimate like how fast does mycoplasma spread on a farm. And as we just briefly touched upon, the diagnostics ability for mycoplasma bovis are quite limiting, which means that we sampled these 20 farms 5 times over 3 months. We picked 3 different cattle age groups because all cattle age groups are susceptible to mycoplasma. So we sampled the calves, the young stock, and the older lactating animals. And we used 3 different diagnostic testing. And that's mainly because, yeah, like I said, the diagnostic ability for mycoplasma bovis is just not very good. We know that, for example, 1 bulk tank milk sample has a predictive value of only like 30 to 50%, which means that you miss out on a lot of positive farms. So a lot of them test negative, while in fact they actually were positive. We have this problem with the other types of diagnostic testing as well. So we use, for example, ELISA, in which we looked for antibodies to mycoplasma. So this mainly basically tells us something about whether this farm has been exposed to mycoplasma. Then we also looked at PCR results, in which we try to catch the real outbreak on the farm, like in current time, basically. And then we also use the culture of the milk, and we try to sample different locations of the animal. Because, yeah, Yassim also briefly touched upon that as an example for the bulk tank milk sampling, that we know, for example, with mycoplasma, if a cow has arthritis, we know that that's not expressed as well in the milk as it would be if it had mastitis that was caused by mycoplasma. So we took a blood sample, we took an eye swab, and we used the milk to sort of like hopefully correctly diagnose these animals. And then we use that in a mathematical model, basically, in which we can estimate how quickly mycoplasma bovis spreads over time. Because we sampled different time points, we can sort of like use the number of infected animals at each time point to estimate how quickly the mycoplasma bovis outbreak spreads on the farm. This is really helpful to us to understand, or to at least quantify, how fast mycoplasma bovis spreads on a farm, because that would help us with designing sort of like control measures on these farms. One of the outcomes of this study was that we saw that this is highly variable between farms. We did not see a consistent pattern. We had farms that had spread that went really, really slowly. And then we had farms that had very, very fast outbreak of mycoplasma bovis, in which we saw that, for example, one infected cow could infect up to 30 other secondarily cows. We don't really understand why yet, but that's, I think, the beauty of research, is that we always come up with more questions if we dive into one research question. But I do think it's really good that it gives us some quantified information, so quantified results for future research. Another thing that we saw in this study was that basically all cattle age groups affect each other. We know that these outbreaks were started in the adult group, because that's how we sampled and like selected these farms, basically. But on all, basically all farms, or like most of the farms, we saw spread from the adult cows to the young stock and to the calves, and that calves infect calves and calves infect young stock. And I think the main takeaway point of that is that as a farmer and as a vet, I think we should be really mindful about this bacteria, and that it spreads on farm, and that it does not limit, again, to a specific age group, because these groups were visibly like separated from each other, so they could not touch each other, so there was no direct contact between these animals, but still they were able to affect each other. And so there must be something else going on these farms that support this spread of mycoplasma. So that's another thing that we try to look into, that we tried to link farm management factors to these observed pathways to sort of like explain and to give a little bit of more tangible results back to the farmer and to a veterinarian to say, hey, we observed these types of pathways, and then we also were able to link these types of management factors to it. Most of these management factors were linked to internal biosecurity or external biosecurity. So, for example, we saw that farms that have more external employees are more at risk of having certain transmission routes on their farm between the age groups. Another example is whether animals are treated in their daily chores from young to old, or if they did it from old to young, that has an impact as well. And I think this type of information is really valuable for a farmer as well, because like I said, we also estimated that it's highly variable in terms of how quickly an outbreak can spread on a farm. That's not something that a farmer, I think, is really happy to hear about and that he can really do something about. But I think these farm management factors are something that we can really take into account and that we can be mindful about to sort of like limit spread if we know that we have it on the farm.
I would just add to those comments at the end there. We know that those are key best practices for the limiting the spread of multiple diseases, right? Not just mycoplasma, which is, you know, I guess it helps to highlight the impact and importance of some biosecurity practices in general. What surprised you about some of the results that you've found thus far? Anything in particular? Anything that really deviated from what you expected?
I think there was some, like for leucosis, we expected it to be pretty high, probably no surprises at all. But for example, for Salmonella Dublin, since it's officially, we don't have Salmonella Dublin here in Alberta, but then we see this comes as a surprise as well. And that's what we are now discussing with the chief veterinary officer and with the government as well, because it's a reportable disease. That we have to make a strategy and a way forward that actually protects the interest of the dairy producers and then work together with the dairy producers to tackle the issue. I would say there are some positive surprises as well. For example, although we are just consolidating our results and it's still partial results, but we only see very less of, for example, Streptococcus aegyleciae and even like Mycoplasma bovis, although we have imperfect testing strategies for this. But for example, for Streptococcus, there have been a lot of emphasis over the last several years, particularly here in Alberta, to address that. And with these results, this is very encouraging to see that these contagious mastitis pathogens are not that prevalent anymore. And once we complete these results, I think this will be a demonstration of the fact that if we address something collectively as the industry, really help to lower these diseases.
Yeah, I don't think from our project we had really surprising results, even though, we observed that the outbreak can spread in like various sort of like speeds. It is not something that we were surprised by. When talking to some farmers, we already got the feeling that that's the case. And that also, I think, contributes to why understanding these infection dynamics of mycoplasma is so challenging. I think we were able with this project to sort of like touch upon these hypotheses that have been raised in terms of like the infection dynamics of mycoplasma. So yeah, this spread, we know that it can spread fast, it can spread slow. That's something that we were able to quantify with this project. Another hypothesis that was out there in literature is that young stock is described as some sort of like reservoir for the infection. And we were able to sort of like quantify that as well, because yeah, we do see that on these outbreak farms, calves and young stock are definitely part of the outbreak as well. And that those age groups should be like considered as well while combating an outbreak of mycoplasma on a farm. I think future direction for us is to sort of like understand why this is the case, especially with regards to how quickly it can spread. Like, how come that on some farms it spreads super fast and on some farms not? Does that have something to do with maybe like a different strain within the Mycoplasma bovis species? that's something that we're going to look into as well. Strain-to-strain difference detection is quite difficult. And now we're also talking about genomic data as well. So like some sort of like a different topic. But I think it's really useful to go into that direction as well, also in terms of diagnostic opportunities. Because yeah, we just also talked about how challenging it is to even like diagnose. So I think these are all really good future directions for next steps of research that we go into. Then another aspect that I would like to touch upon is that Mycoplasma bovis is not only a problem within the dairy industry, we also know that's a huge problem within the beef industry. I have talked to some folks of the beef industry as well, and they were really interested in obtaining these quantified transmission parameters for Mycoplasma bovis, even though it's on dairy farms, because they would also like to use this knowledge and this information within the beef industry to come up with better control strategies within their industry as well. So yeah, I think lots of opportunities that came from this study. And like I said earlier, even more questions that have been raised from just answering this one first research question.
Yeah, no kidding. If there was one recommendation or one specific biosecurity practice you would sort of pinpoint as not being more important than every other one, but just something that to particularly keep in mind.
I would say the most important risk factor for introduction of Mycoplasma bovis on the farm is buying in of animals, like I think it is for any other infectious disease. It's described in, like, there are a lot of things that are not well documented for Mycoplasma bovis and spread of Mycoplasma bovis. But I think this is one thing that is really described well in literature, and that is that buying in of animals is the main risk factor for Mycoplasma bovis outbreaks. Then on a farm, I would say general biosecurity measures are just really important. Just make sure that your boots are clean, that your coveralls are clean. Try not, or be really mindful about that animals can infect each other. So yeah, just use the best practice protocols. And I think that would help to limit the spread of Mycoplasma bovis as well.
I would agree that the general biosecurity practices, and most importantly, the ones that are given to the farmers, particularly in Alberta and also elsewhere in Canada by ProAction Initiative, and I've seen that those are farm-specific SOPs for different things. They need to be strictly implemented. Currently, we are doing another research project for which we are trying to also acquire samples and data from the dairy farmers. And one of the thing and aspect that we're looking in that project is to see if there is an association between the diseases and the implementation of the recommendations from ProAction. So we're collecting the information on what type of recommendations the farmers received under the ProAction initiative and whether or not they have implemented those. The next step for us would be to understand the motivation and barriers. That's also what we're doing in that if you have not implemented the practice, why? I've seen that sometimes those practices, things are really not doable for the farmers. Then we need to be more realistic while making the SOPs or preparing the recommendations.
Wonderful. Well, we'll leave it with that. Thank you both for taking the time to break down the work that you've been doing. Some very technical work, some very important work, and a lot of impact coming out of what you've produced thus far, and clearly a lot of opportunity to continue to doing that for the Canadian dairy industry as a whole as we move forward. So thanks for your work. Thanks for your time, and all the best with your upcoming projects.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's research podcast series. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. For more information, please visit dairyfarmersofcanada.ca/en/dairy-research. This podcast was narrated by myself, Stephen Roach, edited and produced by Carly Wright. Thank you to our guests and to you for listening. The project is part of Dairy Research Cluster 3, a national research funding program made possible by Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's Agri-Science Clusters program, the Dairy Farmers of Canada, Lactinet, and Novalay.